Thank you. Thanks, guys. You're so gracious. I acknowledged it in the last service. I so appreciate the heart, the receptivity of the hearts of the people every single service. Just thank you for being here and being hungry, not just checking me out, but hearing all that stuff. I mean, I don't mind if you come check me out. But I just appreciate your hearts, your humility. God gives grace to the humble. Humility is teachable. Humility receives. Pride resists. Be careful about the real yeah, but thing. I'm not saying just jump on everything, but just make sure your heart's not shielded and shut down and you're covering it with language. So it's always good to stay open before Him. Amen. I think, wow, I really do. Hey, who did 40 minutes?
Yeah.
You're the best, David. That's awesome. I was looking up at a 30 the other services, wasn't I? I got a 10-minute bonus. I must have did good. Yeah. If we do one more service, I might get 50. Yeah. That would be awesome. No, it's been real fun. We've been here since Friday night, some of us, and some of us have been able to check out some of it. So I'm just glad that people can come. I like when we do weekends, we make a whole lot of opportunities to come because then people with schedules can catch something. Yeah. It's not that you have to come to everyone, but thanks for catching something if you could. So I feel like we're going in a little different direction. It's going to be just good news. It's the gospel. Almost, if you were here for all the services, who knows, there's a tone that comes out of my heart all the time. It's like a mandate. I can't even explain it. It's what I see when I stand up about why God sent His Son and who we are now that He came and what we're called to and how grace wants to make us all that. And it's all about His image and becoming love and being changed from what you and I called normal our whole lives. Really. Just being changed from that thing. But the only way that happens is by the working of grace. You can't hear what a man like I've been saying, what a fella like me that preaches the tone I preach. If you listen to me all weekend, you can't leave here and just say, okay, we're going to go try that. Okay, we're going to do that. Okay, we're going to work hard to become that. You'll just feel like you're failing and you'll feel like you'll fall short and you'll probably back up and get discouraged and say, maybe it isn't all that. Or if it is, it's not for me or whatever. It's grace that changes us. The key is you have to be willing. You have to get alone and have intimacy with Him. Pray to Him. Anytime you release faith to God in the truth about your life, your calling, your destiny, grace comes to make that truth your reality. It's a working of the Spirit of God. So you didn't bite your lip to change. You say, well, I'm trying not to get angry. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. You have to let God change your eye and your perspective and your reason for being, and anger goes away. All of a sudden, you're not seeing the situation like you used to. If He changes your eye, He changes your life. You get alone with God and you surrender yourself and you say, Lord God, I just give up this whole platform and right and reason to be angry. Man, I used to discern things this way and that way and people would rub me wrong. But You put me on the earth for Your image, Your nature, and to shine through me and to love. God, anger isn't love and love isn't anger. I put it off and I say, you know what? That is not my desire, my heart, or my will. And Holy Spirit, in any way that I walk short of this, just remind me, encourage me, make me wiser, and empower me to live this thing, because my desire is to love like You've loved me. That's prayer. That's communion with the Lord. That's you going to work and getting ready for work, and that's your heart. And you're just realizing that every day is a gift. Life isn't a dread. It's a gift. And you got this little window called time in the flesh to live by the Spirit. And whether it's 70, 80, 90, 100 years, whatever it is. And some of you faith people say, it's 120, brother. So you've done your studies and it's 120. You believe for that. Good. But make them count. Don't just prove a point and live 120. Make them count. See, you can let, just say you got, just say 70 years, and 80 years, 90 years. This little window of natural time doesn't even mark the map of eternity. Won't even show up. It's not even a decibel. But it'll speak forever on behalf of the King and be your legacy. This one little window. Don't expend it all on here and now, how you feel and how things are going. Expend it on who He is and who He wants to be through you, and you leave a mark. Amen. You walk in love. You make peace. You show mercy. You follow Jesus. Don't just sing to Him. Let Him in you and become who you are. Come on. Because your life matters so much. Because we don't go to church, we are the church. We are the expression of Him. The body of Christ literally means the embodiment of who He is. And we didn't call ourselves the body of Christ. He did. Isn't that awesome? You again. Man, what good news, huh? Look, I just don't want to expend this gift on issues and people stuff and tit for tat and he said, she said, and well, I feel. I want to get to know him. I don't want to just do Christian things. I want to be like Christ because he said to follow him. So I'm not on a presumptuous journey. I'm after his will. And I want to walk in why he lets my feet be on the planet. And I want to be done with all the questions of why I'm alive and what's life all about and all this and it don't make sense and everything's going to pot and da 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 da. Now I'm not there anymore. I won't ever be again. So now I finally see. And because I see, I'm empowered to be without biting my lip and trying. It's who I've become. It's not what I'm doing. It's who I am. I got the best look of you that I've ever had in my life. I used to not have a clue who you were. You had the ability to frustrate me. I thought if God would tweak you, life would be better. I wonder why people were so wacky. Never thought that I might be. Just thought you probably ought to change. Come on, we've all had thoughts like that. They're proud and they're presumptuous. And they all came through the fall of man. I have the best look at you I've ever had in my life. I finally know who you are because I found who I am, and it's the same grace towards you. So now I can love God with all my heart, my soul, my strength, and I can love my neighbor as myself because I have a real good look at me now. So I got a real good look at you. If you don't like yourself, you don't have a good look at them. And they're probably saying, oh, that love your neighbor as yourself thing, why don't you just wait a little till you get a revelation? Because if you're nitpicky and fault-finding and frustrated and disgruntled, you'll just see what's wrong, not what's possible. And you'll see men for what they're appearing to be instead of what they're called to be. And you'll judge men according to the flesh instead of their destiny. And you'll see men for face value instead of purpose and calling. And if God ever looked at humanity that way, he would never send his son. He sent his son because he didn't see where you and I were and what we were doing. He saw what we were called to, created for, and what was possible. God knows what your life and my life look like when he's in us and we're surrendered. And he thinks that's worth paying for. And not just money, the blood of his son. So Jesus is so serious about that. That being God, he would come as a man. And not just come as a man. He didn't Star Trek, guys. He didn't just pop on the scene. Holy Spirit planted him inside a human being called Mary. That's intense to me. The God of the universe would become a fetus and sit in the womb of a woman for 9 months like you and me. And not shortcut, cut a corner, be the captain of our salvation, fulfill everything as a man, and fulfill what Adam failed and give us back the kingdom. It's intense to me that the God of the universe, that nothing was made that wasn't made through him, would be brought down to a fetus in a body, come through a birth canal, be dependent, nurse, and have to grow up as a baby to a man. God was so intense about who he created us to be that he didn't stop at anything to redeem that truth, even though it seemed lost. So Jesus came and took on our image so we can take on his. He was judged as guilty so we could go free. He died so we never will. He was separated from God for a moment so we can forever be joined. There is so many parallels to the cross, it overwhelms me. I'm trying to stay calm. Because I believe it. I don't preach it. I believe it. He changed my life, and it's why all I have is love for you. You can't make me mad. You're not gonna. I'll cry for you before I get mad for you. You can't offend me. It's not possible. I did not wake up for you to love me today. So you can't break my heart. My expectation isn't on you. It's on the Lord. And his eyes are on you, so are mine. So I guess I love you today. Yay. Well, that makes life simple. See, we sing free, and I don't know if we know what we're singing, because we just think it's the forgiveness of sins. You're free because you don't live for you anymore. It's the biggest bummer ever. Living for you. Self-concerned. Self-pursuing. Self-defending. Self-justifying. Self-conscious. What a bummer. And then if you don't have a good view of yourself and you're self-conscious, that's a double bummer. Because now you're constantly aware of what you don't really like and approve of. So then you try to learn to get false attention, false favor, be somebody that you don't believe you are, get people to say good things about you so you feel better. Somebody comes up and says, "You're awesome." And you say, "What'd you say?" And you heard them. You just want them to say it again because you don't believe it, so you need to hear it. All of a sudden you go out of your way and do nice things so people affirm you, not because you love. That's a place to get broken and hurt. Because then if they don't appreciate you, your lie's convinced in your heart. And now you think, wow, I am really a nobody. I even do good and people don't care. And then you sink a little farther. Next thing you know, you're living up to the low level of the value you behold. You raise the value, your life will change. You live according to what you see yourself to be. Making sense? Okay, I got so much time. I'm pumped. I got only 1 minute less already than I had them other two services, and I've already been preaching. Sunday morning's like that. It doesn't limit Holy Spirit. He doesn't leave the room. Well, he doesn't leave me, so he's not leaving the room. If you think he leaves you, I deal with that, but he's not leaving the room. As long as I'm in the room, he's going to be here. As long as you're in the room, spiritually and scripturally, he's in the room. You say, Holy Spirit just left. I don't think so. Hey, are you there? Thanks. We just say some funny stuff in the church. Oh, we just ran out the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I didn't see all us run out. Oh, it's funny. Okay, there's something I want to do. I got a lot of time to do it. It's just fun. Because see, the things I'm telling you right now, and these little things that, and these things that Pastor has called profound and said, his mouth, this is funny. You're just funny. He said the first night my mouth got open, it was going dry because he was like, oh, yeah. You can't just go live these things. You become these things. So you get alone with God and you say yes. You yield yourself. Sometimes you don't have to even have many words. Your just heart is tuned into saying, I don't want to live the way I've learned life and know life and believe life has been or is to be. And I don't want to learn from this lie anymore and let it be my teacher. I want you to be my teacher. You can have all that in your heart and not even know how to totally express it, but mean it and just yield to him in a quiet bedroom and say, Lord, have your way in me. You know what I mean right now and you know what I'm saying. I thank you for the change of life. I thank you for your image, your nature. Thank you for your love. See, we've been trained to just pray for things and pray for stuff and pray for people. And it's good. Don't stop doing that. But that's not your prayer life. Your prayer life is your communion with God. It's not just your prayer life. It's not that. Your prayer life is also your communion with God, your fellowship with Holy Spirit. It's you communing with Him and exchanging your heart with Him and developing a relationship with the one that loves you. Him becoming your best friend. Just driving in your car, Holy Spirit, I love you so much. I so appreciate you being in me. Well, we're not supposed to talk to the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to talk to the Father in Jesus' name. That's when you're praying for stuff. Communion and fellowship and koinonia, co-union with Holy Spirit, is a very deep and wonderful and intimate word. And it involves everything you have in any intimate relationship you've ever had. Co-union and communion with Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to give you a helper. He's the Holy Spirit. He's not going to speak on his own authority. He's going to speak that which he hears. That means he's talking to me. I'm not going to ignore him. I'm going to talk back. Yay. It's just so good that we don't serve a doctrine. It's just so good that we're not paying homage to God this morning. That we're actually his and he's in us and we're growing and sharpening and getting more equipped to go live our life in him and have an impact in our sphere of influence without trying so hard. But just because we're changed. Because we think different. We don't fall apart like we used to. We don't get angry like we used to. We don't get in despair like we used to, because it's not even about me anymore. It's about the kingdom and others. Wow. Children of Israel got released from Pharaoh. It was an amazing thing. You've read the story. Plagues are coming. Pharaoh's hardening his heart. And he's like, yeah, I'm not. And he's, I'm God. I'm the bright morning star. And I was like, oh, poor fellas. And finally, he just says, get out of here. And the Egyptians are like, get out of here. And they want him to go so bad. And they're like, they just give him all their stuff. Just get here. Take my jewelry. Take my gold. Just go. So they're like, wow. They head on out into the wilderness. They're heading to a land of... See, you did read the story. They're heading to a land of milk and honey. They get out there. They bump into water. They ain't got nowhere to go. Here comes Pharaoh. He changed his mind. He's running them down. Ah! The most glorious things have just taken place. And now they're like, Moses, what are you doing? Where's God? What, did you bring us out here to die? To just be... Why? We're going to get killed. Nobody even thought to say, Lord, oh my goodness, you sent this plague, this plague, this plague. You released us. I don't know what this looks like and what's happening. I know what it looks like, but I don't know what's about to happen. But you are amazing, and I can't wait to see what you're about to do. Because you absolutely love us, and we're heading to milk and honey, period. You didn't bring us this far to get us squished like bugs by these chariots. So God, do your thing. Nobody's thinking like that. Self-centered, self-concerned. They're so self-inward focused that they can't even remember what he just did. So now they're forced to live moment to moment to moment and only let them be okay if the moment's okay, turning him into a genie in a bottle that grants wishes instead of a father that they trust and love. You know the story. Sea splits. Pharaoh gets swallowed up. Now they're on the other side. Sing the song of Moses. Yay. Keep their eyes on that song. Hopefully. Now time goes by. And they're looking around. And there ain't no milk and honey. In fact, it ain't even close to milk and honey. But you know, the truth is, it doesn't matter where you are. He's there. And the truth is, they weren't led into the wilderness for them. They were led into the wilderness to the land of milk and honey for his great name. For he raised up a people and had a people to reveal his great name. And if you read your Bible, so that the nations would know God and fear him through them. Why is it any different today in the New Testament, New Covenant Church? We're not here to tell people about Jesus. We're here to live Jesus so they know him through us. You just keep telling people about Jesus and people just get in doctrinal arguments. No, why would they want what you say if they don't see what you say in your life? If you're just as despairing, then you just go to church. You've reduced a life-giving gospel to I go to church, and now church becomes Christianity instead of transformation. So they're like, where's the milk and honey? Moses, you are a terrible leader. And God, I don't think we like you anymore. It's your Bible. They complained against God, against Moses. Do you know what the manna was? They called it manna because it means what is it? And they didn't know what it was, so they called it manna. What is it? So every day they ate it. They said, what is it anyway? You know what it was a type and shadow of, right? You know what it was pointing to, right? You know what this... It's the bread that was to come down. It's pointing to the gospel that's coming. It's pointing to Jesus coming down from heaven. The bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they went, ah! Right? You know what they said? Numbers 21. They complained against God, against Moses, and they loathed the worthless bread. Ouch. The bread's a type and shadow of the gospel. God's provision. God's sustaining life. God's answer. Let me show you how wretched self-focus is. They come out of their tent and they go, same old stuff, wherever we are. Miss the whole point. God wants to groom them. God wants to form them and fashion them through that wilderness to take them into a promised land so men look at them and go, there is a God, and He alone is God. That's not what happened. You know what happened? They wandered for 40 years. We all know the story. We've preached it and preached it and preached it. They wandered for 40 years, and that generation died there and never reached the milk and honey. Why? One reason. They were thinking for themselves. And the whole way through, they said, it'd be better for us. 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 And Jesus said, if you come after me, you better get rid of better for us. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and get to following me. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and love not our own lives unto death. Unless you love less your mother, your father, your wife, your children, your houses, your land, and yes, even your own life, you will by no means be my disciple. Well, it's probably a problem. It'd be better for us. There's too much disappointment in the church, people. There's too much discouragement. There's too much crying wrong tears. There's too much self-sorrow, self-pity, and finding yourself through your circumstances instead of this truth. Because I understand we're in trials, and I understand sometimes it might be tough. But who you are in the midst of that is what matters most, and that's what people will see and come away with. Now, if we just preach some sentimental thing, some flesh-driven thing that says, well, you know, we got to face reality. We all have weakness, and we don't have to be superheroes, and we're not robots, and we can't quench our emotions. And, you know, we just all go through it, and we all feel it, and we're not perfect, but we're just forgiven. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's storms coming and nothing falls because you're a wise man, because you've heard and you've become. The storm's not even trying to destroy you. Why are you getting self-focused? It's trying to destroy what God's been building. Let me flip the scenario of selflessness with Jesus' life for one. Jesus came out of the River Jordan from being baptized. And what's the first thing Holy Spirit led him to do? Go into the wilderness. It's amazing. Why? He came to fulfill what man failed. Jesus walked out everything. He was tempted at every point, yet without sin. He's captain of our salvation. He's amazing. He didn't just preach to us. He lived the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh. God didn't just come to you with a sermon and say, shape up and live this thing. He sent a life. That's incredible. It's so loving. We're to behold Him and follow Him. Jesus gets led into the wilderness. Same temptation, same trials, same devil, same surroundings. It's amazing how Jesus in 40 days came out of there. So in 40 days, He fulfilled what they failed and never touched for 40 years. They wandered and died, never reached the promise. He came out in the Spirit and power. That's a little different outcome. Just a little. Wander or die, never reach your destination. Bummer. 40 days, Spirit and power, angels ministering to you, defeating the devil, filled with the Spirit of God. Sounds a little different. One difference. Selfless, all about God and you. Self-centered, all about me. Unless a seed dies and falls to the ground, it'll abide alone. But if it dies and falls to the ground, it'll spring up and bear much fruit. One little difference. I lay down my life and make myself of no reputation to do your will, O God. It's written in the volume of your book. And I come to love them because I see their sheep without a shepherd. I'll go, Lord. I'll lay down my life. Spirit and power. Will be better for us. Wander and die. What's so hard about coming out of your tent in the morning? You could do this. You could do this. Watch. Got your little babies in there. You go. Oh. There you go again. You are just so faithful. Here we are in the middle of nowhere. But you're here. And that's what makes it right. I can sleep in this tent with these babies all night and never fear, knowing your faithfulness and your provision is on the ground every morning. I honor you. I worship you, my God. And I thank you that you only let me take enough today, because I'll see you tomorrow. What's so hard about that attitude? That sure beats, same old stuff. You think you could throw raisins in it now and then? Come on. Why is it so hard for people to let go of what they were never created to be? Because we believe everything we've lived up until now is the truth of who we are. And we've let life be our teacher, not Jesus, the good teacher. So we've been homeschooled in the wrong home and taught by a lie. So don't be conformed to the world. Transformed by thinking different than you've ever thought before. Man, that's crystal clear, guys. So I'm trying to get to where I wanted to go. That good news part? This is all good news, because living free from yourself is really good news. See, because when Jesus made himself of no reputation and died a death on the cross, death on the cross, therefore God highly exalted him. Through that humility, through that surrender, through that death, God raised him from the dead and highly exalted him above every name. Why? Because he's the Lord, because he's Jesus, because he's love, and he denied himself in humility, and grace came and went, bam, you're the best. He's not just titled to best. He is the best. He lived the best. He earned this thing in the sense of laying down his life. Not works. He made himself of no reputation and showed us what love looks like. Therefore, God exalted him and gave him the name above every name. As soon as he gets done saying that, he says, You therefore. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. Therefore, do all things without grumbling, without complaining, so that you're seen as an innocent, harmless person in the midst of a twisted up world, whom you, shining forth as a light, hold forth the word of life. Oh, that's the gospel. Philippians 2, it's there, I promise. Isn't that awesome? He exalts him with the name above every name and doesn't even give us time to go, wow. He says, you therefore. He connects us always. You therefore. You therefore. Why? Because he made us in his image, predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, firstborn among many. Each seed after its own kind. Let's stop saying, well, that was Jesus. No, every time it's Jesus, it's our calling and destiny and grace will empower you if you're willing to believe. Don't say, well, I can't love like that. No, you can't, but he can in you. Give yourself to him. Let go of your rights. Let go of what the flesh taught you. Let go of what people are saying. And follow him. Come on, I'm compelling you this morning. Man. Preaching good.
I can feel it. It makes me happy. I just feel so born again all the time. I do. I just feel saved. All the time.
It's just fun. So, grace wants to change us. Grace wants to save us. But if you don't see yourself the way God sees you, you won't have the faith to approach him and pursue him with boldness. Seeing that Jesus, high priest, he's passed through the heavens, the Son of God. Seeing him and seeing that he's doing what he's doing, mediating on our behalf, and he's sitting there representing us to the Father. Come boldly in. The door's open. Don't even knock. Father, thank you for the way you see me. Thank you for loving me. Not arrogantly, not presumptuously, boldly, because he's welcoming you through his Son. Yeah, but you don't know where I've been. What about where he's been? That changes that. The fact that your heart cares means you care. Don't you condemn yourself and talk yourself out of what your heart desires. Yeah. Well, you don't know where I've been. You wouldn't even make that comment if you didn't care about where you've been. You say, but I really messed up. Yeah, and you cried hard over it. It's time to stop crying and let his mercy wash over you, make you wiser and sharper and smarter. Not teach grace in a way that you can keep messing up, but grace in a way that keeps you from messing up. He says to the woman who committed adultery, he says, where are thine accusers? There are none, Lord. I accuse you neither. What happened? They caught her in the act. He said, who? They said, what do you say, teacher? They're testing him. They could care less about the lady. They'll kill her in self-righteousness. They don't care she's a human being. They don't care. They just said, you made a mistake and we're judging you for your mistake. You're an adulteress. You're this, you're that. Die. Jesus is amazing. He said, who among you has no sin? Go ahead, throw the first stone. Boop. Oldest is a reason. Oldest to the youngest. They all walked away. You have to understand something according to the law. Jesus didn't just disqualify them. He qualified himself. He could have stoned her. He was righteous according to the law. Sin free. It wouldn't have been self-righteousness for him to stone her under the law. He was completely pure and holy. He had never sinned. He who has no sin cast the first stone. Who could have threw a stone? Who could have threw a stone? Did he? Wow. So is he throwing one at you? It's amazing how people get deceived and be mad at God. And well, if God's good, then how come? Well, how'd he put that stupid tree in the garden if he knew Adam was going to eat it? And, and all the stuff that makes you mad at God, it's the devil. Stop listening to him. Look what it's doing in you. It's making the clay rise above the potter. It's taking limited little finite minds and ruling over something that's unsearchable. What a deception. People say, well, I can't wait to see God someday. I got a few things to ask him. You have no clue what you're saying. No clue. Like not even close clue. You are relating to a little fresh fantasy world that we're walking in. Because he is amazing. I have had some encounters with him where I couldn't speak, where I thought I was going to die, but I wasn't afraid because it wasn't that he was going to kill me. It was just he's overwhelming. And if he'd give you a little more glimpse of who he is, you don't even think. You think you're just going to pop. And come in my bedroom one time and swirl around me. And I just curled up and cried. And he was so majestic and so incredible. I couldn't even speak. But he lets us speak. You know what he said to me the day he was swirling around my bedroom? He said, do you realize I've given you the honor and privilege of loving in my unfailing love? What an invite. You think I'm going to have that invite and have people issues today? You're wrong, friend. Well, yeah, but he hurt me. Bah. Well, I don't like what they said. Bah. You're just boasting and not knowing him enough. Because if you knew him enough, you wouldn't think that way anymore, and that language would change. And you'd stop finding people that agree with you as a support system. And you'd walk with the one that knows. Oh, that was straight. Because you can tell I'm not mad at you. You can't even get mad when I talk like that. Because it's not for me that I'm saying this. Guys, get a grip on this. I'm getting on a plane at 3:10. I'm flying home and life's going to be amazing and Jesus is the same. No matter what you do with what I said all weekend, you can't change who I am and what I'm saying and what I see. It's amazing. He's going to talk to me today. I'm going to feel his presence. I'm going to go to bed in him, wake up in him, and it's awesome. And nobody can do nothing about it. The reason I would cry out like this is because I so believe it. And they're willing to give me a microphone and you're willing to come and actually listen. Do you know why I came here when Christy invited me? Because I wanted to. I don't have to. You're not paying my bills next month. I know you took offerings and honorarings and pastor's so gracious with the money. I'm like behind the scenes. He's making me squirm. I'm like, listen, I didn't come here. Stop. Say, you know, we're blessing you. I said, stop it. You don't understand. This is not a career. It's not a way of living. I'm not an itinerant minister. It's not a contract. This isn't a business deal. It's called the kingdom of God and family. And wonder if I believe what I'm preaching and I actually do love you and believe, even though I don't live here, you have value here. And this place matters because you matter. And this weekend, if it makes a little bit of a difference, it's worth flying here. If I could just plow ground, sow seed, water something, the kingdom of God is at hand.
Amen.
It's not about my sermon. It's about what comes out of this. I'm not here because I have to be. I'm here because I want to be. I go to 10% of my invites. And I'm here. Because I want to be. Because she asked me to come. Thank you. And I knew you'd be here. See, I was right. I knew you'd be here. And it humbled me and excited me. And I thought, man, if they're going to sit there and listen, I'm going to tell them. And I'm going to get on a plane, fly home, and be in Jesus, bless the person beside me probably on the plane, and have fun, and maybe pray for somebody going through security. I don't know. It's just fun. Because I'm not self-concerned, and I'm not self-conscious, and I'm not all caught up with life. I'm caught up with the life that's in me. Yeah, there's no other option, friend. I'm way too far gone. Way too far gone to not keep it up. You say, well, you don't understand. No, don't stop putting our stories on each other. Stop it. We're drawing false senses of sympathy that'll never change us. You know, I pray for the sick. I've seen the sick healed. I haven't seen everybody. We prayed for Precious Christy. It was just great in my heart because she's such a wonderful lady. And it's not a works thing. You can't say, God, she's so amazing. You got to heal her. It's not works. It's God's love for people. So you're praying and you're not seeing her changing. Like, ah. And then you see all these other things. And in your life, you see a lot of people. My mother passed away 2 days after Christmas, 3 years ago from sickness. And you see it hasn't changed me. I won't let my mom be an idolatry in my life. She's a blessing. She's a gift. God didn't give me that mother that I had at the cost of who He is. He gave me the mother in light of who He is. So I didn't write new books on healing and let my mother's circumstance change Jesus. I'm not covering wounds. I'm not changing theology because of my go through. The book's already written. God's revealed through His Son, not my mom passing. So I'm not a hurt guy. I'm not broken up. We already won. Mama's so okay. Was it too early? It's always too early. Are we ever ready to let go? No way. Who are we fooling? Is physical loss real? Yeah, but get a bigger grip. It's everlasting life.
Amen.
We're not Christians so everything goes right now. We're Christians so we leave the mark now and many can know Him because we knew Him and we'll rejoice forever about that. Don't you be deceived and turn inward and let life eat you up and then turn from God because you're mad, hurt, broken because it hasn't gone the way you prayed. You say, well, if God's good, why? How? We ask the wrong questions. They always have a selfish tone. If God wasn't good, see, they'd ask Jesus questions from a wrong place. And what did He do? Let me ask you a question. He was so wise. He taught me a lot. Watch. People say, well, if God's so good, then how come He let, and why would He, and how come He didn't heal your mother? And I say, listen, maybe we ask the wrong questions. Let me ask you a question. If God wasn't good, why would He send His Son while we were yet sinners? And why would Jesus suffer and die totally innocent to get our guilt away? Maybe you're being a little presumptuous and speaking out of turn. Maybe it's time to get quiet and gain understanding.
Yes, sir.
Be slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to listen.
Yes.
Not full of feelings, raging, popping off, and don't want to hear a thing. The Bible says slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen. What have we been our whole lives, almost all of us? Total opposite. A lot of feelings, a lot to say, don't want to hear it. Be honest. It's called the fall of man, perversion. Time to get born again. It's not a positional place you sing about. It's something you become. You'll never have the intimacy with Jesus that He desires. Whoo, it's going to make me cry. Oh, don't do this to me. Sorry, I don't pull emotional cards on nobody. You will never have the intimacy He desires
until the day comes when you see yourself like he does through his finished work. Until you stop putting yourself down, judging yourself, trying too hard, thinking you're a failure, living condemned, bad-mouthing yourself, saying, oh, I'm so dumb. Stop it. He didn't die for dumb. Well, I'll never get it. Stop it. He didn't die for never get it. You've got to see yourself the way he always has. The reason love never fails is because he's never saw you, sir, apart from what he created you for. So on your darkest day, on a willful adventure, on a rebellious journey, if there was ever one, he said, I know who you are, and you're so much more than what you're giving yourself to. I love you. And then the Spirit of God wooed and wooed and wooed to draw him out of darkness into the light and not even bring up the darkness, just bring the light. He sanctifies you. He separates you. He calls you out of darkness. He doesn't grill you for the darkness. He calls you out of it by saying, you're more than what you're giving yourself to. You're more than what you're living. I know who you are. I created you from the beginning. You're not happenstance. You're my desire. Come out of darkness into the light. I love you. That's why love never fails. Because he never loses sight of your created value, destiny, or purpose. And that's why Jesus died on the cross. Not because you're a sinner. He had to die because you sinned. But he died to restore your destiny and value. He came to save that which was lost. What was lost was who you were created to be from the beginning when Adam ate the tree and got cut off from love, but were grafted back into the vine. So now we don't need love. We are loved. We become love. Apart from Jesus, we just need love because we're empty and full of vacuums. And the biggest tragedy is we pray a prayer to go to heaven and stay needing love. Just pray a prayer to go to heaven and still have insecurities and still need love. And what people say matters more when it doesn't matter most. The blood of Jesus has forgiven us of all sin and cleansed us of all unrighteousness. If you cleanse someone of all unrighteousness, what's left? Righteousness. If you forgive someone of all sin, what's left? No sin. And the church continues to say, yeah, but we're never perfect. Yeah, but we'll always miss it. Yeah, but we're always going to be sinners. Yeah, it's amazing God loves us. And we quench being overtaken by the revelation of his love and goodness and responding in that same love to become that same love. So we get spiritually deceived and say things that sound spiritual but don't line up to scripture. We say, well, what, brother, what are you saying? You're never going to sin? Are you saying you're perfect? See, I'm not even saying that. We're just geared to think that. So we're always sin conscious and righteousness is never producing its fruit to holiness. Do you have the ability, sound booth, David, to put Romans 6 up there for me? Romans 6. We'll do this and I'll close. I'm at zero probably for a few minutes. Are we okay? Are you okay? Seriously. Can we just close this out? Can I do this? Because I want to break every religious lie we've ever tended to believe. Because when people talking about being free from sin and stuff, people get squirmy, especially older folks and old school folks, because their whole life they've been taught otherwise. It concerns me a little because we're just taking what we're hearing. I don't know how much we've been with him. Sometimes, though, we're with him and we're only looking through the screen we've been given. Which tells me if every man would just get alone and say, look, I've been taught a lot. I respect people. I feel like I've honored people and I feel like I see Jesus in a lot of people. But there's a lot of people saying a lot of things about you. I really need to know who you are. So I neutralize my heart and I open my heart up. Would you teach me who you are? The first thing he'll tell you to do is look to Jesus, because when you see Jesus, you see him. Come on, we've defined God through life, through one another. A pastor will stand up and say, well, if anybody in here says they haven't been this week or haven't been that, who knows, they're just in denial. The only reason that pastor's preaching that, because freedom is in his reality. And it's his experience, so he's thinking it's yours. So if you're not free, you can't preach freedom. So if you still have issues, you have to defend issues. And you have to preach in a way that keeps them alive, because now we qualify. Because, hey, that's gal denial. Everybody has their stuff, brother. Everybody has their little secrets. Stop it. No, they don't. Jesus has none. I'm following him, and I don't have one either. You say, you're presumptuous. No, I'm telling you the truth, and one day you'll find out I was telling the truth. The problem is we don't want to believe that because we have ours and we don't want to challenge them, so we just kind of stay the same and never feel good about ourselves because of our secrets, so we rob ourselves from intimacy with him. So we can't see ourselves for how he sees us because we see ourselves otherwise. Come on, this is crystal clear. But let me show you how Jesus sees us and what we're called to do. Because if you don't see yourself apart from sin and you don't stop boasting in sin and walking in this false humility that says, yeah, but we're never perfect, we're always going to sin, that is not what Jesus is telling you to say. That's what religion is saying and people that are misguided are saying. Because 1 Peter 2 says, he bore your sin and my sin in his body on a tree. So where's your sin and my sin? His body on a tree. That we, having died to sin. So what did we just do? Died to sin. Its identity, its stain, its sting, its desire, its function. We've died to sin. We've been separate from sinners. We're sanctified. We're called out of darkness into the light. So that we, having died to sin, might live righteous. That means to be found right in the sight of God. Every day, waking up, enjoying right in the sight of God. Not trying not to sin. You're not waking up trying not to sin. You're waking up right with God. You make the tree good, the fruit's automatic. If you're trying hard, you think you're failing and the tree's indecisive and the fruit never looks clear. Because you don't know who you've become. But he knows and love will never fail and that door is always open, so step in. Condemning yourself, talking bad about yourself, crying over yourself, never the will of God. Let me show you the will of God, because here's what we've done. We've done a big tragedy. We've made the gospel all about our well-being, our protection, and everlasting life. We haven't made the gospel about transformation and walking in mercy and making peace. We haven't made the gospel walking in love. If you don't become love and I don't become love, we've missed the whole point of why he was crucified. If you and I just continue to get frustrated over each other and pick and choose and have issues and attitudes, we've missed the whole point. We've just done church. Because the whole goal of our instruction, 1 Timothy 1:5, is love. It says you can have knowledge of all mysteries, have faith to move every mountain. And if you don't have love, you have nothing. But in today's church, someone that has faith to move all mountains and has all mysteries, knowledge of all, is a spiritual icon. It's a hero. And everybody's thronging to him for impartation and a touch and a receive something. He's the keynote speaker at the World Conference, guys. The Bible says if he doesn't have love, he's missed the whole point. He's just writing a gift. Watch, you please hear me. Don't hear what I'm not saying. That man is riding a gift. He has the potential to sleep with someone else's wife if he's married. He has the potential of doing this and that. When you become love, those things get erased. Stop saying everybody can do that stuff. Not in fellowship with God, you can't. It's when you get your eyes off of truth and let things hurt you and get your heart divided that you live what you're not called to be. And the thing that you do is to serve yourself, to heal yourself, to comfort yourself. Every time man walks out of balance into sin, it's a self-serving thing. Every sin has a self-centered root at it. So if you deny yourself, pick up your cross and sincerely live for the kingdom and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will always be added unto you. This is so clear. This is who we are. We did not pray a prayer to go to heaven. We died. We died. And Paul's concerned if we know that. Watch. He made a comment. You don't have to go there. But in the end of Romans 5, he makes a comment. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. You all know that's there, right? So when he makes that comment, he's like writing. And Holy Ghost is going, hey, write this because you know how people are going to take that. So we'll just keep on sinning because grace will keep on abounding, whatever. See, I'm preaching like this in a church one day. Guy stands up right in the middle. I'm guest speaker. I'm preaching. He stands right about where you are, bud. He stands right up. He might have been third row. He says, I says, what's going on, man? You got a comment? He says, right while I'm preaching, he says, man, you need to get a revelation of Christ. And I said, really? That's amazing. Okay. I said, man, let me understand what you're saying so I can respond. Because everybody's like, oh my God. And I said, what are you saying? I need to know what you're saying. He said, well, you're bringing up sin and you're talking about sin. And he said, Jesus paid for our sin. Sin shouldn't even be ever talked about, man. You need a revelation of what he did. And I said, I'm not still sure what you're saying. You got to help me with what you're saying. He said, well, and he tried to talk. I said, I think I know what you're saying. What you're saying is God knows we're sinners. We're always going to sin. We'll never get away from sin. So he paid the price for our sins so that we could stay right with him so that when we die, it's all called even because of the blood of Jesus. He said, well, yeah. I said, can we all turn to Romans 6? Found out later he had a living girlfriend, fornication, smoking marijuana daily, and going to the bar after work for long hours, intoxicated. Church every weekend. God knows I'm a perpetual sinner. Thank God he loves me and forgave me. I'll go live my life and have fun and he'll make it all right. That's a gospel out there that people preach. But it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when I started reading Romans 6, he stood up vehement. He said, I'll not sit under this kind of legalism. Nobody's going to bring me into bondage. I'm thinking, pal, I feel so bad for you. You are so in bondage. And he started storming out of church. I said, sir, and he just gone. Girl got up to chase him, to run out to chase him. I said, honey, please guard and check your heart while you're chasing him. I don't know that it would be a good thing right now, your motive in chasing him. I said, we need to just pray. We need to pray. And it actually was a smaller church, and I looked at the pastors in the front row, and they were crying. And I said, hey, guys, sorry. I mean, it wasn't all that big in the first place. I wasn't trying to run nobody out and make it smaller. I just kept preaching. They came to me later and told me the story, how they just sat down with him and talked to him about their concerns, his lifestyle, and what it was doing in the church. And he asked to consider all that. And he said, no way, man. You guys need to get the gospel. God don't care if I'm sleeping with my girlfriend. And God don't care if I'm smoking pot and drinking at the bar. It's not a big deal. He knows that's in my nature. So he sent Jesus because he loves me so much to make that all right, even though it isn't. That is a twisted, perverted, demonic lie. And here's what Paul has to say about it. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? He's not talking about the act of sin. He's talking about the mentality of sin and the consciousness of sin. See, the biggest mistake the church makes is we think that our ability to sin makes us sinners. We think our ability to fail makes us failures. Watch. Or do you not know? Some of us don't. Or do you not know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus and were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live in new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, he's going to explain his death in a minute, we certainly shall be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him. You get it? For we know our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Oh my goodness, watch, what? Well, we're always going to sin, brother. Well, you know, nobody's pretty. Watch, because anyone who has died this death has been set, this is in your Bible, it's not my sermon notes, Bible. Been set, don't be afraid to see it and say it, set free from sin. This isn't the only time it's going to say it like three more times. And I'm getting really worked up. Okay, go. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we also will. Yeah. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer is a master over him. The death he died. Now here's his death. Here's what we died with in him with. Here's what we were buried in. The death he died. He died. He's explaining his death. He died to sin once for. But the life he lives now, present, the life he, not the life he's gonna live. The life he lives to in the same way. See, remember, he raised him above every name and exalted. You, therefore, goes right to you. Watch. You likewise, the King James says, you likewise, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin. That's how you wake up every day. Father, I thank you I'm not sin waiting to happen. I thank you my life isn't a failure. I thank you your grace is sufficient for me today. You see me clean, pure, holy, blameless in your sight, and I'm not letting anything change my mind. You did an amazing work, and I'm going to start where you finished, and I'm going to run well. You love me, you've washed me, you've cleansed me. I'm not just going to sing about it on Sunday. I believe it today, and I thank you for righteousness through Jesus Christ. Now, what's going to happen if you start living that way and thinking that way? You're going to start living that way, conducting that way, and acting that way without even trying, because you believe it and you see yourself that way and you made the tree good, and the fruit's going to be... The Bible's going to prove that. Watch. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin. So what? Count yourself dead to sin so you can live what? To God. Therefore. No, that's okay. Thanks, man. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Why? Because it's not who you are. So that you would obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God. Wonder if that's a place of prayer and presentation in the morning when you wake up, at night when you go to bed, keeping yourself in that thought so it becomes your reason for being and your life becomes an example and people follow. Wow, that sure beats having frustration, needing counsel, and just being mad.
Yeah,
do not offer, I wasn't talking to anybody specifically, I was kind of looking up. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wisdom, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought out from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. Guys, that's not a church service, that's not an altar call, that's not a just, I surrender all. And then you're like crying and all shook up because you know you haven't. No, it's you in your bedroom when you wake up. It's you walking to the bathroom in the middle of the night. And you're just like, Father, I just thank you for life. I just thank you for life in Christ. Thank you. You wake up, God, I just thank you for my job and the opportunity. And I used to think it was a grindstone and I used to complain. You are changing me. Oh, thanks for the light in me. That when people see my life, they see who you are. That your countenance shines through me, God. That your love is in my eyes. Thank you for making me more and more like you. I receive the gift called life. Yeah, but you don't understand. My wife's acting up and my car ain't running good and the boss is acting like a jerk. All the more reason to be like Jesus, friend. Why do you let those things matter and become Lord when He's calling you to something? Why are you opting out and talking yourself out of grace and truth? Come on. Oh, I'm preaching so good. I'm so over time. Are we still okay? No, zealots? Shh. Zealots? Shh. Are we okay? I love y'all. First, you guys are so good around here. This is a fun place. For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law but under grace. Now he knows how men will think. What then? Shall we just sin because we're not under the law and under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, then you're that slave to the one you obey, whether it's a slave to sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. See, just live by faith. But thanks be to God that though you used to be a slave to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. See why we teach this stuff? So you're taught it. So you can't say, I haven't heard it. How can they hear if they haven't believed? How can they hear if no one teaches? How can they teach if nobody's sent? Come on, you can't say you haven't heard. If you came here for any one service this weekend, I don't know what they're preaching here, but I know these are good folks. I've been with them long enough to know they're doing right. But I don't know what they're preaching, but I know what I preached from Friday to now. And if you were at one service, you can't say you haven't heard. Gotcha, in a good way. Just roped you in. You've been, oh my goodness, here we are again. You've been set free. From sin, you become a slave. You look that up. It means bound and chained to serve. You've been bound and chained to the identity of righteousness, that you are forever bound to see yourself right in the sight of God. You have no other option. That's what the word means. Anything else is unbelief and failure to receive the finished work of Christ. Wow. Come on. This is awesome. Thanks, Dave. I am using an example from everyday life because your human limitations, just as he's making it, applicable. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever increasing wickedness, so now, Why? There's change. You're born again. You yourselves as slaves to righteousness. I'm right in the sight of God, leading to what's righteousness lead to? So you're going to live holy and not bite your lip to be holy. That's what it's saying. His grace is sufficient for you. Isn't this good? When you were slaves, when you were, when you were a slave to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now, you have been, I can't take anymore. God actually believes you're set free from sin and doesn't see you for where you've been or what you've done. He sees you for what he created you to be, and he's calling you to believe the same things so you can walk in the fruit thereof. Boy, you have a reason to be excited because it's good tidings of great joy. That's what's wrong with me. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to, there it is again. And the result? Thank you. Was that too good or what? Now be honest. Except for obstinance and whatever and unbelief, is there any way out of that?
No.
Be honest. Unless you just become your own ruler, your own wisdom and your own analytical being and say, yeah, but brother, well, you got to understand. And all of a sudden what you're saying is what God is writing and saying isn't true and what Jesus accomplished isn't real. And you're just found as an unbeliever that goes to church. That's all you'll be found as, an unbeliever that goes to church and never reap the fruit of his finished work and aborted your destiny and legacy. That would be a shame. I'm not saying, well, you're going to hell. I'm not even thinking about hell. I never use hell as an inspiration to get people to come to God. It's the goodness of God that leads men to change. You come to God because of the beauty of who he is, not because you're afraid he's going to throw you in hell someday. I don't even think about hell. I don't think about the devil, and I don't think about sin. And if the devil pops up, we just move him aside because he's not Lord. I'm not being arrogant. So there's two things I never think about, sin and the devil. Well, that sounds like freedom. Yeah. Come on, he's a cut off withering branch coming to nothing. Why do you put him on a platform? See, you put me on a platform, and what happened? I manifested and preached. You put him on a platform, he'll manifest and preach. He's a cut off withering branch coming to nothing. You're the sons and daughters of the living God. Stop boasting in the devil. Start boasting in Jesus. God bless you. I have to stop. I love you. People are going to want to say goodbye to me and hug me and love me. So I'm just asking out of courtesy. I know people want prayer and stuff. It doesn't always have to be the guest speaker. If they offer whatever they want to do about that. But please honor one another in that. And don't. I never feel pinned down. You've noticed all week that I love people and I'm the last one to leave the church. Who's noticed that? Amen. But be courteous to others and don't just hold me for 10, 15, 20 minutes when there's 20 other people that just want to say good meeting you, thank you, hi, bye, because I'm leaving today. Just honor that and understand that, okay? It's not that I don't want to pray for you and love you. It's just hard for me to accommodate everybody's desire. So here's a good time to practice selflessness and say, you know what? I can get it from prayer from wherever and I can get it from Jesus and I learned a lot today. Yes. Can you honor what I'm saying? So, Father, I bless this house, I bless this congregation, and I bless every congregation represented, every family, every home, and I ask that these words bring tremendous, wonderful fruit. I pray that they were seeds sown, ground plowed, and even seeds watered on the things that have already been planted. But the bottom line is, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let us all grow, mature, and increase, and let the light so shine before men that they know you are God. Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.